Welcome to What's Up Bainbridge. I'm your host, Sonia Scare. On March 24th, there will be an online forum called Our Climate, Our Faith, Our Future, Acting on Our Climate Action Plan. Here to speak with me about the event is John Kidd, the organizer, and Stephen Crippen of Grace Episcopal Church. Welcome, John and Stephen. Thanks for being with me today on this Zoom meeting.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Good to be here.
John, please tell us how you came to be the organizer of this climate action event.
Well, I think there's maybe four threads. First, I'm a student of ecology and family. And when either is out of balance, the other suffers. Climate change is driven by how we live, how I live. It's driven by a normality that will deliver a dismal future for our children and our grandchildren. My present comfort is their future misery. So we need to find a new normal, a normal that is sustainable, and we're running out of time. Nothing's more important than the future of our families. Second thread is I'm following in the footsteps of the exemplary Bainbridgers who spent years on the climate action plan, folks like Mike Cox, Deb Rudnick, Gary Lagerlof, Joe Dietz, and others, laid the scientific foundation for what the city can do. Now it's up to us, the community, to find the new normal, to implement it in our homes and our lives. Science and law can only get us to the door of what we need to do. The city has determined its carbon footprint and set a timeline for reducing it. Now it's our turn to do the same. Third, I'm a student of religion. And religion, even if you don't believe in God, is about reconnecting communities and neighbors and our shared duty to care for our home. Religions that are about faith collectively and what would be overwhelming individually, facing it. Religions help us find and transition to the new normal we have to find to protect our families. And faiths have tools and traditions that science lacks. They put the most vulnerable first. They help us grow ourselves and our care for others more deeply as we seek our new normal. Every faith here has a remarkable and unique set of tools to give us for our transition to the new normal. We need science, and we need faith and everyone else to get this done. It's all hands on deck. Lastly, I'm a dad. I feel the threat every day. The threat to my family is a threat to every family. So doing this project is nothing special. It's a normal parental thing to do, to want to protect. If I did nothing, I'd feel miserable. I'd feel immoral.
Stephen, young people are often seen as leading the charge on climate change. Do you see a more multi-generational participation through your congregation?
This is a great question for Grace Episcopal Church on Bainbridge Island in particular, because we are currently visioning for the next 5 years of our ministry together in all the different dimensions of our work as a church. And in all of those dimensions, we are focusing on multi-generational and intergenerational ministry, which is to say that we really want to engage not just a particular age group, but we want age groups to engage one another. And so any ministry project that we undertake at Grace is going to have an eye toward intergenerational ministry. This is grounded in our faith tradition, in which Jesus ministered to children, and Jesus was spoken about and celebrated by very elderly people. And the earliest Christian communities were noted for their diversity, not just racial or ethnic diversity, but also gender diversity and generational diversity. And so any project that we undertake, which includes what we would call earth and spirit, which is sort of an umbrella term for our environmental ministries, any ministry that we undertake has an intergenerational focus. We also are aware that many of our young people are in many ways more engaged on this issue than some of the older generations. And so they can be our teachers and elders in this project.
John, tell us what we can expect at the online forum. You're the organizer. And who are the participants? How did that all come together?
Well, the presentation is going to be in three parts. The first 30 minutes, City Council member Joe Dietz and CCAC member Mike Cox will address the City Climate Action Plan, focusing on what community members can and should do. One of those things is to determine our household carbon footprint. So Marcy and Gary Lagerlof will talk about using the Taming Bigfoot Carbon Use Calculator and what it did for them and in their household. I'll then note the Climate Pledge to determine your household footprint on the website called BainbridgePledge.org, or you can find it and take it. The second 30 minutes is hearing from five faith communities about what their faiths call them to do and what they've done and what they hope to do. These are really good people who have all volunteered their time. We'll have Reverend Stephen Crippen from Grace Episcopal Church, Rabbi Dario Figin from Congregation Kol Shalom, and Congregant Deb Rudnick from Kol Shalom, Reverend Zachary Vinson from Cedars Unitarian Universalist Church, Reverend Karen Haig from St. Barnabas Episcopal, and Bishop Tom Bell from The Church of Jesus Christ of LDS Latter-day Saints. And the last 30 minutes is a Q&A where all my audience members will have a chance to post questions and everyone will respond. And then I'll attempt a summary at the very end about next steps.
Okay, very good. And the panel discussion is titled, What Our Faiths Call Us to Do About Our Climate. Stephen, how does your faith align with our need to care for the future of our planet?
There are so many ways to answer this question in the positive. And one way to do that is to look at the manifold stories in the Bible itself that articulate in sometimes quiet and unexpected ways, but sometimes in more direct ways, an ethic of environmental justice and a spiritual practice that is focused on care for the earth and the life and the flourishing of life in the here and now. And so I can trace it from Genesis, where God creates creatures and plants and all kinds of life of every kind. And we keep hearing that same phrase, of every kind. And God proclaims that all of these created beings, all of this created life is good. And Noah rescues all of the different animals of every kind during the flood. And in Jonah, God talks about how God cares for human beings, but also cares for livestock and other creatures. And the teachings of the Torah in our Jewish tradition, we are Christian, but we do include the Jewish scriptures in our holy book. The Torah teaches an ethic where even the animals are included in the spiritual practices and the spiritual calendar and life of the community. And then in Jesus, we see even more of that. We see Jesus engaging positively with his landscape. And so spiritual transformation happens on the mountaintop. It happens by the river. It happens in the wilderness. Jesus also uses metaphors that articulate an environmental ethic. So he uses the seed metaphor a lot. He seems preoccupied by seeds and how seeds die in the earth and then rise into new life. And then, of course, his death on the cross is represented in our story as the death of creation for at least a time. So for a few hours, creation goes dark. And it seems like all of creation is sympathetic with the death of Jesus. And then, of course, the resurrection takes place in a garden, a flourishing garden that takes us back to the Garden of Eden. And then finally, in Revelation, paradise is described as a 12-fruited tree, a city that is filled with life. And so in all of these ways, my faith and the faith of our community at Grace Church is grounded and centered in an environmental justice ethic.
And to go back to the multi-generational makeup of a congregation, does that make a church uniquely qualified to address climate change? Are the older members passing on their history and experience of life on this planet? And now they want to do better and help younger members address the climate problems?
Yes, I think, you know, my short answer to this question is yes, churches can be uniquely qualified because we are already intentionally an intergenerational community. And so there could be groups and clubs and organizations and nonprofits that address climate change, but churches are distinctive in that we are already an intergenerational culture. And so, an additional yes to this would be that our elders have much to teach. But like I said earlier, in some sense, our younger generations might actually pass them by in their ability to teach and lead on this topic. And so what we try to do when we do intergenerational ministry is to listen to and respond to some of our newer members and our younger members to be sure that we are capturing their wisdom as well.
From my perspective, to find a new normal for our island, we should begin with our island communities. If we find out what works for them, then we have tools for what would work for the others. There's no single path to the new normal. Second, every faith on our panel is about responsibility and transformation. We're gifted life and given the responsibility to care for ourselves, our neighbors, and our earth. This work is a realization of our faith. It is facing the truth of what we need to do and thus doing what our faith calls us to do. Our faith communities are engines of transformation. They are packed full of stories about how we must change ourselves to make things right. They are likewise packed full of people of all ages helping each other. Let's learn from them.
Oh, that's really well said, John. Thank you. And my last question for today is, what are your expectations of the March 24th event? What would you like the community to learn or understand about that event?
Well, John here, I think perhaps six things come to mind. The first is that these faith communities on this panel are incubators for innovation. Second, their communities can help our larger community to learn how to come together to get to the new normal. Their doors are open. Third, more concretely, I hope that everyone feels a duty to their family and our community to determine their carbon footprint so we can then begin to figure it out. Our city has figured out its carbon footprint. Now it's our turn to determine ours. Fourth, I hope members talk this up amongst their friends. I hope folks tell their friends how much better you felt by knowing your footprint. Urge them to take it, then talk about how to reduce it. There will be lots of resources on the Bainbridge Pledge website to help us make the change we need to make. Fifth, we don't have to change the world. We only have to change the world here. And lastly, there is no planet B. This is about us, about here, about now. Bainbridge is a remarkable place full of remarkable people. We've got the talent, the tenacity, and the devotion to get this done.
Yeah, I would just add that this is an issue that a lot of people can feel helpless about. It seems like such an enormous problem that it's hard for an individual to operationalize. What can I do? What's the 1, 2, 3? What are the next steps for me? And so I think that this can be a way for us as faith communities from a diverse array of backgrounds and perspectives to really come together and offer clear steps forward for our members and for ourselves. It's a way to capture the wisdom of our traditions and connect it to the enormity of this problem in such a way that coming away from it, participants can say, okay, this is a way that I can live out my faith. This is a way that I can make a difference in this part of the world.
Great, well, thank you. Listeners who would like to attend the Zoom webinar, and we'll include links on our BCB webpage for that. Thank you both for joining me today.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you for having us both.
And thanks to our audience for listening to this episode of What's Up Bainbridge, which is brought to you by BCB, a community service of Barn.